Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Make It Right podcast with Kevin Snook. I'm Janet Eastman. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. We are in the process of expanding on each chapter of Kevin's book, Make It Right, Five Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. We're examining the steps of the align process. Each chapter builds on the last, so I encourage you to check out our previous podcast to get the full impact of the process. Hello, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, Janet.
Good. So this book was written to provide guidance to the manufacturing CEO, but there are a lot of points in this book that anyone can relate to, particularly in this chapter, Kevin. And one of the key points in this chapter is how to get the most out of the dreaded meeting. And I was speaking with someone a few weeks ago, and they said that meetings they didn't even need to contribute to were taking up 40 to 60% of their day, and this was impacting their work. So how can we run meetings properly and more effectively?
Yeah, meetings seem to be the bane of a lot of people's life in business. And it's extremely frustrating when I go into companies and I see how much time is being taken up in meetings. If we actually had a situation where meetings were only used to make decisions and were only had the right people in the meetings that needed to make the decisions, then everything would be a lot more simple. So if there was one simple piece of advice that I would give, it would be don't have people in the meetings unless they really need to be there, and only have the people in there that are actually involved in making that decision.
Right. So when you make this shift, aren't there people who usually attend these meetings that are going to feel left out, or worse, that they're unimportant within the company?
I don't think anybody would complain about having less meetings to go to.
I thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, I do understand that people want to feel informed, and sharing information is a different forum than having a meeting. And this is where, you know, that there's different. Sometimes meetings get confused. They're used for training. They're used for sharing information. They're used for a whole bunch of things, which there should be other forums for, especially in this day and age where we've got great technology that can help us do those things more efficiently. And on the time that people, in the time that people have available, they can be using those to learn things and to get updates on where the company is. Now, in terms of making a decision, that's completely different. That's where we need to have exactly the right people at the right time in the right forum to be able to, if necessary, talk face to face and make a clear decision. That's where the meetings are for. I don't think people will feel left out. And at the end of the meeting, one of the key factors is to send out the decision from that meeting to the people that it's relevant to. So people still find out what's happening. They just don't have to be sitting in the meeting for 45 minutes and really not contributing or wasting their time when they could be so much more productive.
Okay. So if the sole purpose of a meeting then is to assign help and reach a decision, without other meetings, how do you know when help is needed before that crisis tells you that there's a problem?
Well, that if you're not in so many meetings, you have an opportunity to talk to people. And that's a big factor here, is that there should be one-to-one discussions with your direct reports, with the people that you're specifically accountable for helping and supporting. And so what I'd like to do is get people out of the meetings, but increase the number of one-to-one interactions so that you know specifically the team that you're working with, what help and support do they need?
Right. So when we talk about these one-to-one meetings, if you're the CEO of a large manufacturing company, it's got to be near impossible for you to do these one-to-one meetings. So that trickles down to the manager of that department. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So I find that a good number of people to be a direct leader for is, 5 to 12. If you get more than sort of 10 or 12 people that you're directly responsible for helping, you simply don't have the time or capacity to give them the type of help that they need. So that has to be assigned. Now, that doesn't have to be assigned hierarchically, But for example, if you have a team of 30 people, you can assign people within that team of 30 to play particular roles and to be responsible for a smaller number of people within that 30 to give them the help and support that they need. They don't necessarily have to be, you know, the boss or the manager of that group of people that they're helping.
Okay. So the key part here as a leader is listening, really, isn't it?
I think that's critical in any relationship in life. And, you know, work is just another form of relationships, or the company is a set of relationships, just like your family is. And you'd have a really difficult time in your family if you weren't listening to the children, if you weren't listening to your parents, if you weren't listening to your spouse. And so, listening is an absolutely critical skill for any leader.
So as a leader, though, I think in most companies, someone looks at you as the leader and they expect that they're supposed to listen and you're supposed to talk. When you make that turn, how do you go about it so people understand that, yeah, they are allowed to talk and tell you stuff?
you have that one-to-one conversation or that conversation with the organization, and you can do that through video messaging, etc. People do need to know that things are changing and that you're open to input. A lot of companies, you know, they've been running 30, 40, 50 years and they've already built a certain culture, and to many, you know, in a lot of companies that I've been in or I've been involved with, there is a fear-based culture that's developed over a period of years. And so people have been putting their ideas forward. They've been making suggestions. They've been trying to improve the company. And at some point, at some level within the organization, things have shut down. And when the leadership shuts down and stops listening, then the organization shuts down. What we need to do is we need to open that up again. And really the best way to do that is through one-to-one discussions so that people understand that, okay, let's try again. I am here to listen and to take input and to, you know, my role is to help and support you to be able to do your part of the business in the most effective way. And so, it's a conversation is needed so that people know that once again, you're open.
So it's all part of the overall aligned cultural shift then.
Exactly. And I think the challenge for leaders is that it's really an ego problem. You know, if you're carrying around this ego that you're supposed to be the leader and you're supposed to know more than the people that are working for you, and therefore, you know, you're the one who's supposed to be making the decisions, you end up in a really difficult spot, because the fact is you don't know more than the people that are working for you in their particular part of the company or the business. You know, if you're the manager of a department and each person in that department is running a different piece of the equipment or is running a different part of the process, they're going to know that intimately more in more detail than you are. And so what you want to be doing is listening and finding out where they're finding the challenges and then how specifically you can break the barriers that they don't have the capability to break. You know, you as a leader, you're looking over multiple departments and you have the opportunity to put people in touch with the right group to maybe help the conversations that person needs to have. And that ought to be your role as the leader.
Okay. So manufacturing companies, they have these things. I've never heard of these before. So sales and operations planning reviews. Hmm. What is the end goal of these meetings?
Well, there's two core departments that in any manufacturing business. One of those is the sales department, because the salespeople are the only people that are bringing money into the company. Everybody Right. else is spending money. And so the sales group is one core group. Manufacturing group are the only ones that are making any product for us to sell. And so, you know, therefore, those two groups are critical, and I call them the core departments. In order for those two groups to be absolutely aligned on the direction of the business, there is a need for us to talk, because they have, in some ways, they have counterintuitive roles, that the salespeople want things always available. So in a way, it would be, we always have inventory, but we always have new things. We always have new information, marketing materials for us to be able to sell more effectively to the customer. The production teams want things to be easy for production so that we can make them most cost effectively and most efficiently. You don't, in between those two, there's inventory, and this is a cost for the business. So one of the key goals of the planning department, for example, is to reduce inventory and to make sure that the costs throughout the supply chain are as low as possible. So with these two core groups having slightly different objectives, what we want to do is make sure that the support groups around them, finance, quality, planning, marketing, etc., are hearing the message from both and then finding the optimum solution to take the business in the right direction. So as a leader, you're setting a very clear direction, which is the same for the sales team and the same for the manufacturing team. But then we're getting them together with the support groups who are there to help make sure that that direction is achieved in the most optimum fashion.
Okay.
That's what the S&OP meeting is all about. So it's having the right participants in the room to make sure that the decisions can be made. We can decide where we're focused and how each department is going to interact in order to get the best solution.
So at these meetings then, attendance should be mandatory.
Yeah, and this is one of the meetings where I would say quite often between departments you feel like, oh, there's nothing for me to say this month. But it's absolutely critical that you're in that room. And it's only that the people that can make the decision are in that room in order to be able to have that conversation. And as I said, the sales department and the operations or the manufacturing department are quite often going to have a different idea about how best to solve this problem. And so there's going to be some conflict in that meeting. And that's great. You know, having the conflict should be in the meeting. And then as we walk out of the meeting, we need to make sure we've got absolute alignment. And so it takes a strong leader within the meeting to say, you know, let's get everything on the table and then let's make some choices. Let's focus on the areas that are going to help us the most. And then let's push forward with that and make sure that there is agreement within the meeting so that when we walk out, we all just focus on, you know, moving forward.
So at this point too, then the leader's job, because it's to support and encourage, at some point he's going to have to say no to somebody.
Absolutely. And yeah. A key role is to say no. You know, there's going to be ideas and opinions and different ways of moving forward, but we can't move forward most effectively if we've got too much on the table. And so a key role is to prioritize and then to say no to the lower priorities so that we can spend our effort and our resources on the top priority items that are going to move us forward.
Right. You talk about walking the factory floor and that this is something that is really important for leaders of companies to get a sense of the factory floor, to actually eat in the factory restaurant and use the factory washrooms. Why is this so important?
Well, I mention washrooms and restaurants because they're two places that every employee is going to spend some time during the day. And we want to know that our employees are being treated well, that they're being given the right sort of facilities, the right quality of facilities. They're being kept in the right conditions to show our employees that they are important and that the quality culture that we're trying to build within the organization is there for them as well as for our customers. And so restrooms and restaurant for me are important areas. But in terms of walking the factory floor, you have to confirm to yourself that things are working the way you feel you want them to work. The factory is part of your home. And imagine you ask your children, you know, did you tidy your bedroom today? And they're like, yes, Dad, don't worry, I tidied my bedroom. And then you go in and you walk in there and you actually see it. And you get a sense for what tidying the room means for them. And so walking the factory floor is really giving us a sense for what is the standard that I'm setting within my company. And is that acceptable to me? I feel that in our factories, we should have the highest possible standards. What you're willing to walk past becomes your standard, whether you like it or not. So, you know, if you're willing to walk past piles of scrap and, you know, old gearboxes and motors piled up in a corner, that is your standard. And the only way you're going to know what your standards are is actually by, you know, walking around the factory, seeing people, seeing the way things are working, and then deciding whether that's okay for you or not.
Yeah, so basically if you see stuff that you don't like, as you say, like the old stuff in the corner and whatnot, by just simply walking by, you're indicating to your staff that, yeah, that's okay. We don't mind it like that. And yeah, okay.
Exactly. And for me, a big role of generating the best results from a manufacturing business is the quality of the equipment. It's the condition, the maintenance condition of the equipment. And that's something that you can see visually extremely well. And so spending some time, I always suggest that you start at the farthest end of the factory and then walk towards, walk back towards the offices or wherever it is that you spend most of your time, and to make sure that you're always covering the full factory in some period of time.
Okay. We are actually moving on to the final chapter in the Align process. There's one more chapter after that in the book, but what can we expect in chapter 7, Kevin, which is called, is N in Align, Nurture, Feedback, and Recognition?
I've never known an employee who has had too much recognition, and recognition is an extremely important factor, more so in my opinion than just rewards. And so what we want to do in the next chapter is make sure that we're learning the best possible techniques to recognize our people and make sure that as they move towards the goals that are set for their part of the business, they're really feeling like they are recognized for their part in driving the business forward.
Okay, great. So that is coming up next time on the Make It Right podcast. Kevin's book is called Make It Right, 5 Steps to Align Your Manufacturing Business from the Front Line to the Bottom Line. It is available now at Amazon.com. And next time we speak, we'll be talking about the N in the Align process. And be sure to check out the book because it's... even if you're not in manufacturing, there's some great tips in it that you can use in pretty much everyday life. Kevin, great to talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Janet.